Jesus, all for Jesus. And Lord, it's in your will and only in your will that we are free, that we are truly free. And to be in his will, we need to live and we need to walk by faith. For Hebrews 11:6 puts it very, very clearly that without faith, it's difficult to please God. Oh, that isn't what it says?
No.
How about impossible? Yeah. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means that it's not possible. That means there's no way, Jose, to please God. No way, Sarah. No way any of us can please God without faith. Faith is an integral part of who God is, and we were made in his image. So it's an integral part of who and what we are and what we have to be in everything we think, we say, and we do. So tonight is going to be another one of those interactive nights. So everybody make sure you're awake, because this is interparticipation class. That means we all need to be on the alert, because we're doing faith scenarios again tonight. Let me hear a yay from everybody.
Yay.
All right. You know why this is important? Because we can teach about faith, and we can teach about faith, and we can teach it and put it out there and put it out there and put it out there. And then you go, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, okay, I think I got it. But probably you got it up here, because all you've done is hear some word of God. You haven't had the opportunity to put it into action yet. And what happens when the situation comes that you get to put it into action? Old habits crop up. The little man inside that's been leading and guiding you since the age of 6 and the other one from the age of 18, our core value system, pops up and says, okay, this is how we're going to handle it. Which is what? This is man's way. This is what we've done all our lives. It's a habit. It's a way of doing things. But most cases, it's probably not God's way, and it's probably not faith. And we really want to get hold of that. The first one, we're going to do two scenarios tonight. And a reminder that these are real life situations that actually happened. We know the people. And the first one's called Choices, Choices Everywhere. Now, don't hand it out quite yet. Just be ready to. We have choices every day, decisions that we make. You know, the world says, the secular world says that we make 25,000 decisions a day. That's a lot, huh? 25,000? Oh my gosh, how is that even possible? I mean, there are only 24 hours in the day. You'd think there had to be at least 25 hours in the day, 1,000 per hour, right? But then, oh golly, gee, then we're sleeping for part of the time, so that ups the ante. Is it really possible we do that many? Well, let's take a little example just to get an idea of how important decisions are and how many choices we really do have. Okay, you've got the alarm set for 6 o'clock in the morning, and the alarm goes off, and you are So what did I just do? I put on the snooze alarm. 9 more minutes, Lord, just 9 more minutes. 9 more minutes come up, and I'm like, another 9. Another 9. You know, my alarm can actually go for 2 hours doing that. This is not a good idea, however. But that's what we tend to do, isn't it? Okay, I'm tired. I'm not ready to wake up yet. So let me hit the snooze. Well, what was the first decision? I can get up now or I can hit the snooze alarm. And then 9 minutes later, we had the same decision. And the same decision. Okay, finally, we get to the point where we say, okay, we're getting up. Yay, progress. Okay, now. Okay, what do I do first? Let's see, should I get dressed first or should I have breakfast? Okay, maybe I should get dressed. What should I wear? And then you think of all the different items of clothing that you have, and we women coordinating our lipstick and our jewelry and so forth with the clothes we wear, and everything has to be coordinated. So what does this go with this? You know, and so each one of those is a decision. It's a choice. And then we get to breakfast and it's, well, should I have breakfast or should I not? Oh, yeah, I should. I'm feeling hunger pangs. Okay, now what should I have? Pancakes? Bacon and eggs? Cereal? How about yogurt and fruit? Choices, choices. Every step of the way, we have choices. And I think if you analyze it, you realize that we do make a lot of choices. And maybe it really is 25,000 in a day. It's very possible. So, how are we going to make our choices relative to the Word of God and to acting on faith in our lives? You remember in our introductory class, we had a handout called The Impact of Your Choices. And we saw that there were benefits and that there, well, actually, there was only one real drawback. There was risk involved. Remember that? There was risk. Risk of failure, a price to pay, maybe walking by sight, walking by your five senses, which we know is the devil's playground, preparing for plan B. Did I say plan B? Uh-oh. And what is this? This is all motivated by fear. Because plan B comes about as, well, what if God's way doesn't work? What if? And we think, oh, I got to have a contingency plan. So that's all the downside. The upside is really pretty awesome. You get the answer to your prayer. You get a testimony. You draw closer to Jesus. You pass the lab test. Remember, we're not the ones that give you the lab test. That comes from the enemy. He's going to put you in situations where he's going to say, oh, you've heard the word of God. Oh, you think you know what to do here, huh? Well, let me just see. How are you going to react if I do thus and so? So that's the lab test. And let me tell you, if you don't pass the lab test, you get to take it over again and again and again until you do pass it, because you get stuck there. Until you pass it, then you take that big giant step of victory, and then you get to move on to the next lab test. Our lives are full of lab tests because we have an enemy. And he's out there to test us at every turn. But in God, we go from level to level, glory to glory. We strengthen our faith in Jesus. Remember that the journey is more important than the destination. The destination's always good. But, you know, if you stop to think about it, the destination is actually no longer faith. Your destination is receiving the answer to your prayer and your five senses. See it, feel it, hear it, taste it, touch it. Your five senses know that the answer is there. For instance, on healing, your body knows, oh, okay, that's been healed. Look, I can do what I couldn't do before. So if we're going through the benefits, strengthens our spirituality. Everything is a step-by-step when we did the Mother May I when we were growing up. I think we probably all did that. But whether you took a baby tiny step or whether you took a giant step, it was still one step at a time. That's what we do. And God's with us. If we put him, we reach out and take his hand, he's right there with us. So remember that faith is walking out the natural physical life through the eyes of faith. We got to see things through God's eyes. Everybody here has probably seen the wonderful movie called It's a Wonderful Life, right? Every Christmas they show it on TV again with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. Wonderful movie. And what does that movie do? He gets into a really bad place and he has like a dream or a vision where he thinks, oh, I should never have been born. This is terrible. This is not a good situation. And he's shown what his life would be like, what the world around him would be like without him, what his family would be like, what his town would be like without him. And he got a real wake-up call to realize he influenced people greatly. You know, our choices and our decisions influence people greatly. And it starts with not just us, but our family. And those closest to us are greatly influenced by what we do, what we say, what we think, how we act. You've heard the expression, no man is an island. That's really quite true, because we do have influence all around us, for good or for evil, depending moment by moment on the decision that we make. Because we can make a really good decision one minute and a really bad one the next, because God's given us free will and a choice that we can make. So as we impact those around us, the ones we love for good or for evil, with the consequences of our choices in thought, word, and deed. So, okay, you can hand out the first one. The first one is called Choices, Choices Everywhere. And just a reminder of how we do these faith scenarios, I'm going to give you a few minutes to read through. There's a little story there. And then there are six choices of what the person can do. And we're going to give two answers. There's one best answer, faith-wise, and you want to decide which of the six would be the choice that God would be most pleased with, the one that takes the most faith. But then between you and God, take a look at the choices and say, well, I think that's the best answer, but you know, Lord, I'm not quite there yet. So I think instead of A, I might do C right now. So have some way of differentiating your answers, whether it's a different color pen or one's a check mark and one's an asterisk, or however you want to do it. Choose your two different answers. And after you read them, then we'll go over all six answers and we'll take a look and see what's good about this, what's not so good about this. Because sometimes your answers here will have a mixture of, well, this part's good, but that part isn't. And so those are things we want to look at. So take your time and read now. And everybody, look up when you're done and kind of wave your hand. Let me know you're ready. And as soon as I assess that everybody's caught up, we will move forward. Okay, faith scenarios, choices, choices everywhere. Jessica had been hearing about healing school for years. As a dedicated Christian, she wanted to learn all she could about Jesus and the Word of God so that she could grow in her Christian faith ever closer to Father God through Jesus, his Son. She prayed about attending healing school, which was a big commitment, 3 semesters of teaching covering 1.5 years. After years of serious prayer, she got a release from the Holy Spirit and a confirmation that she was to attend and complete all 3 semesters of healing school. Jessica successfully attended all of semesters 1 and 2, becoming more excited by each class and looking forward to semester 3, which focused on cleansing. She had seen cleansing at her church, but not to the depth of this class. She couldn't rave enough about this healing school, repeatedly telling people how much these classes had changed her life. Jessica completed days 1 through 4 of semester 3. Excitedly anticipating her own personal cleansing and graduation on day 5. However, in her own church, an all-day seminar of great interest to her was scheduled on the same day and at the same time as this final day of healing school. What should Jessica have done? Choice A. After much prayer, Jessica decided that God wanted her to attend the seminar at her church. Is this faith or no faith? I can't hear you. No faith. Okay. Why? Okay. I'm hearing lots of good answers. She had already prayed. And she had made a commitment because God had given her the release, not to do part of healing school, but to do all of it. And that included the final day of the final semester. Okay, so what is she doing when she's going to pray about the situation when it came up? Is she invalidating her prayer? Okay. B. Jessica fasted and prayed, asking God which class she should attend. I see head shaking. Not hearing any rattling going on, but I'm seeing head shaking. Okay, here we go again. It said she prayed. What? Asking God which class to attend. Didn't she already know? I mean, she had prayed, she had gotten confirmation, she'd made the commitment, and she said she'd go to healing school. So what's with this other class? Well, let's look at C. Because of her great interest in the seminar, which was repeated infrequently at her church, she remembered that she had promised herself that the next time available to her, she would attend the class. So did that free her up to be able to attend that special seminar? She promised herself, right? But what did she promise herself? The next time she was available. Key word there. Was she available? No. She had a commitment at healing school. Okay, D. She decided to follow through on her commitment to complete healing school. I hear a yay. This was the right decision. This was the decision of faith. It's following through because she had prayed. She'd asked God, "What do you want me to do?" Now we know the prayer of faith is when you have the answer, you run with it. You thank God you have the answer, and then you follow through on it. So she was told to take the courses and complete them. Now, that meant 1.5 years of her time, but that's exactly what she did. She made it through all of semester 1 days 1 through 5, all of semester 2, days 1 through 5, and most of semester 3, days 1 through 4, before the situation came up. So yes, D is the faith-filled answer. She made a commitment, end of story, follow through on it. Do what you promised you were going to do. You promised God, you promised yourself, you promised the healing school people. The commitment was made, and that's what commitment is all about. Commitment is not wishy-washy. It's not compromising. It's not a sometimes thing. When you make a commitment, that is something that is very firm, something you can count on, something you can look at, something you can know what it is you are to do. It leaves no doubt, no hesitation, no if, no and, no but. Okay, with that, D is the best faith answer, but what was E? Jessica decided to attend the seminar at her church with the hope that she could make up the healing school class and still graduate. What do you think about that? I heard somebody say plan B. Okay, there was that backup plan. Well, I want to do both. You know, maybe there's a way I can fit them both in. But fitting them both in didn't mean taking healing school and then taking this seminar the next time it showed up. She was trying to do them both at the same time. F, Jessica decided to attend the seminar at her church, knowing that she could repeat semester 3 of the healing school when it was offered again the next semester and graduate at that time. What do you think about this choice? If she's taken it, she can repeat it. Well, the only way you're going to graduate is to keep taking it until you do. Right? Yeah, so yeah, that's allowed. But what's wrong with this? It is allowed.
Well, the same thing. She's going against her commitment.
She's going against her commitment. This really, is it an option? Yeah, it could be, but it's not. It's not God's way. It's not what God wanted her to do. Do you know what she told us when she told us about this other seminar? She said, God scheduled me for something else that day. I won't be able to make healing school. God scheduled it for her? Excuse me. Wasn't it God that told her to take healing school? Including day semester 3, day 5? That was God who told her that. Now how could God tell her to take healing school and then suddenly God tells her to take this other seminar? What is the word of God? What's a good scripture that counteracts this two-faced God? Being double-minded? What about God never changes? What about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? When God makes a decision, when he talks to you, when he tells you what he wants you to do, that's it. No further discussion. I like what Kenneth Copeland used to say. If I can remember how it worked, it's like once you've talked to God and once you hear from God, you confer no more with man. Because man will try to change you. The enemy will use them to try to twist it, to make it different. And that's what happened here. A temptation was put in her way. A temptation to do something other than what she said she would do. Now, this was something she wanted to do. She wanted to do both. But she didn't take it in godly order, which was completing her commitment. And then praying that even though that other seminar had been shown infrequently in her church? Well, maybe she could find that suddenly they decided to do it like 2 months in a row. She could pray and ask God to have them bring it back. She could check and see, is this seminar being given someplace else in the next week or month or whatever, and be able to do both that way. But she didn't operate by faith, and she said it was God told her. So, needless to say, I think you figured out by now that she literally did go to her seminar at her church, and she did not attend healing school semester three, day five. And you know what? She didn't come back the next semester to take it again. She never completed it. So it's still hanging out there somewhere. A commitment that was not lived up to. Yeah, flying in the breeze or something. Well, let me tell you something. The decisions we make, what was that? No man is an island? And the decisions we make influence people? You think, oh, that was just Jessica. No big deal. You know, so Jessica went to the one and not the other. So what? So she didn't complete her commitment. Maybe she really didn't want to. So what? Well, let me tell you, her family and her family relationships suffered because of the decision she made. If you make a commitment with God and you don't follow through, it's not God that's bringing hell down on you for that, but you've opened yourself up to the enemy getting into your life. And if he can't get you, he'll get your family. He'll get those closest to you. And he'll attack and he'll prod and he'll pry and he'll do one thing or another. Because it is so important in our walk of faith to do things God's way. When we ask God and he tells us, we need to be sure. And when we're sure and we make that commitment, we need to follow through all the way through. It'll be to our benefit, it'll be to the benefit of our families. Let me tell you about Jessica's family. Her family was a mess. Not long after she had attended what she did of healing school and then didn't complete it, she found out that her daughter was a lesbian. And then her daughter was wanting to leave home and to move in with another woman with whom she could have a sexual relationship. And then there was her son. They had been at odds with each other and hadn't spoken in over a year. So she had no positive influence there at all, and things only got worse after she did not complete her commitment. What a sad situation, isn't it? I mean, she was just in shock. She was like, I don't understand. And you know, sometimes you know, because you can see what's going to happen. And when it happens, you know what it is and you know what the root cause is. But sometimes people don't want to listen. So I don't know if she ever figured that out or not. But we were very sad that she made the choice that she did. So, Gwen, we can go ahead and pass out the second one now. Okay. Everybody got shower power? You may read and mark. Mark your two choices. Okay, everybody all set? Okay, faith scenario, shower power. Woo! Millie had completed semesters 1 and 2 of a 3-semester, year and a half long healing school. Sounds vaguely familiar, huh? It's a different person, but you wouldn't believe how many similar type situations we have. She was now entering the final semester of healing school, attending class number one, and learning so much that she was excitedly looking forward to the next four sessions. Suddenly, she realized that she had a conflict of schedule for the last class. It's always day five. Satan really doesn't want us to complete this. If she missed the school, she wouldn't graduate, and then she would have to repeat the whole semester. What was worse was that the conflict was of her own making. She was in charge of the bridal party for her daughter-in-law-to-be, had already scheduled it some months earlier, had reserved the restaurant, and had sent out the invitations. Oh, wow. How should Millie handle this conflict of schedule? I mean, this is a pretty big deal, right? All this planning and reservations and communication and everything that went into this. And, you know, she'd been thinking of them as two separate events. And it wasn't until she looked at the calendar and suddenly realized they both fell on the same day. So, A, should she go ahead with the bridal shower and miss healing school? No. Why not? More important to go to healing school. Okay, so let's see what other options she might have had. B, here's a thought. Should she put someone else in charge of the bridal shower and choose to miss the shower so she can go to healing school? And that's spoken from a father who has kids who have gotten married. He said, healing school is so definite, sure, miss the shower. Okay. So, interesting thought. Appreciate your devotion to God's word. That really is... Yeah, the kind of faith this man has to be able to answer that way is like, you know, nothing stands in the way. Healing school is here. I'm going to healing school. It's here, 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 and here. And I'll be there, 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 and there every single time. Okay. Okay. C, should she change the date for the bridal shower, notifying everyone of the change so she would be free to attend both the shower and the healing school? What do you think about this one?
No, that's not complicated thing. Yeah, I love my read it things. I can't answer it anymore.
Well, the thing is, she's got 4 months, so it's not like it's... Not like it's three weeks away.
Right, She's got four months to work on it.
She's made a commitment to healing school. She's also made a commitment to her daughter-in-law, B. So to me, this is the best one.
Okay, so I'm getting the response that C is definitely the best one because she has already made the commitment to her daughter-in-law to be to host this bridal shower for her. But yet at the same time, she has also made the commitment to healing school, right? So both of these are important. Both of these are commitments. And the fact that they came together on the same day means something's got to give. And the one that's the most flexible, it's a lot of work, but it was most flexible, is changing the date of the shower. Now that just meant she had more work involved in order to do something like that. She knew she'd have to find a different date that her daughter-in-law-to-be was available on, and then she'd have to see if she could get a reservation for the restaurant that day, and then she'd have to send out the invitations and hope everybody could still come. You know, but she, you know how that is when you have a whole bunch of people, trying to get a family reunion together. Oh, this is a good date for me, but not for so-and-so. Oh, well, that's good for so-and-so, but not for this one, you know, and it goes down. So the important thing was for her and for her daughter-in-law to be and for the restaurant to coordinate and then the rest to follow through. That would be what would be involved if she took this option, but then that would free her up to go to healing school on the scheduled date. And as was mentioned, this was day one, month one. So she had 4 months to pull this thing together to be able to make the change if she was going to do it. That was how much time she had. So it's still feasible. It wasn't like it was next week. Okay, D, should she go ahead with the bridal shower, missing healing school, but hoping that the dean of the school would make an exception for her? And I'm seeing a very big silly grin on the face of the dean going like, yeah, right. I don't think so. So I guess that's our answer on that one, huh? The dean has spoken with the look on his face. So not a good choice. Definitely not one of faith. E, should she move forward with the bridal shower, hoping that she would be given permission to make up the missed class of healing school with CDs and completed homework? And again, I'm seeing the dean kind of looking like, I don't know about that. Is it a possibility? Certainly is not the best option. And we go back to C as a way of her being able to make each one a priority. Okay, here's one. F, should she attend healing school and then leave early to attend the bridal shower? Because healing school starts at 10 a.m. and the bridal shower wasn't until sometime in the afternoon. So maybe she could come and just squeeze as much as she could out of healing school and then run to the bridal shower, keeping in mind that the earlier she leaves healing school is the longer time that she has at the shower. I'm getting looks like, no, no, not good. No, because again, what is this? This is a compromise. We know compromise is not good. Compromise is not your commitment. They are not the same thing. Commitment is to something very specific. Compromise means you're going to do part of it, but part of it you won't do. And that's no longer a commitment. As soon as you find a way of not doing part of the commitment, you've just invalidated the whole thing. Faith takes some hard choices sometimes. Was there a lot of work involved here? And by the way, she actually did do C. She actually did go through all the hassle of changing everything for the shower. So that could be an event that would be a blessing to her now daughter-in-law. And yet she wanted to be sure to be in healing school too. Didn't want to miss. Let me tell you, this ABC-er has been so hungry for the things of God. And she's like a dry sponge in the desert that gets the fresh, refreshing desert shower of the Word of God. And it just washed her, and she'd grab hold of it, and she'd go, oh, that makes so much sense. And you know what she'd do? She is a hearer of the Word and a doer, because what she hears, she puts into action. And this has been for several years this way. And because of the choices she has made, we really, Pastor Joshua and I, believe that this one was very pivotal in her entire Christian life, because it was a biggie. But it's not the only decision of that type where it's been, you know, a choice that isn't the easiest one to make. But she would make the right decisions over and over again. And who benefited by this? She did, and her family has. There have been several miracles in her family and various members of her family. Her husband had a brush with death more than once, but she stood in for him. She applied ABC principles, which are nothing less than godly principles from the Word of God. She knew she had the scripture to go to. She knew the Word of God, and she put it into practice, and over again, she got her victories. Step by step, through the whole thing, she got her victory. And we got to hear the testimony of the latest situation with her husband. I'm talking about Margie Saavedra. From, what, 3, 4, 5 Sundays ago, something like that, that she was able to share this dynamic testimony. It was so awesome that we included it as part of the teaching that day. And let me tell you that the decisions that we make strengthen us. What that woman has been through, the challenges she's had to face, the step-by-step with her husband, because at every turn, the doctors and the nurses were all giving up hope. They were telling her, okay, we're almost there. It's almost over. Just, you know, plan the will, all of your plans for when he dies. You got to plan this because we just don't think he's going to make it. And she goes, no! In the name of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, my husband has been healed. And it would be a challenge with one thing. And she'd take authority and she'd do affirmations regarding that one thing. The general, I've been healed. In this case, her husband has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And then they'd say, well, no, it was the heart. And then it was the lungs. And then it was the this. And then it was the that. And each time, she stayed steadfast to confess the word of God over her husband. She knew how to take authority, and she followed through on it. And she was faithful. And she was steadfast. And she was consistent. She didn't give up. Boy, I'll tell you, most people I know would have given up. But she set such a wonderful example for all of us. And what is this? This is faith in action. This is the devil just throwing stuff at her as he throws it at us. And she wouldn't take it. She recognized it for what it was. It was the devil. It was his plans. And what does John 10:10 say? He's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he wants to do. That's what he does. And so you look at a situation and you say, is this from God or is this from the devil? Oh, it's sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. Oh, that's easy. That's from the devil. My Jesus paid the price with his 39 stripes. My husband's born again child of God. He's been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I refuse to accept this evil report. And it came evil report after evil report, just a barrage of them. And she just stayed in the presence of God, and she refused to accept that. I think of a situation with Yoel, with her daughter. And she got an evil report. Now, here's a walk by faith. Because when you're a tither, you know that you have a leg to stand on to go to God and say, I'm a tither. And you rebuke the devourer on my behalf. And my daughter is being challenged. The doctor said she was 30 minutes from death. 30 minutes. Pardon? 20. Even shorter. And we had left for a ministry trip when we were in another part of the country. And it's the middle of the night there. It's probably the beginning of the middle of the night here. And she goes, I need prayer support. And that's okay. You know, sometimes we go as far as our strength will carry us, and we know what to do. And Margie would call us, and she would come for prayer also. And we were just step by step with her, praying together, agreeing together. And so we had finally visited with our friends and finally gotten to bed and finally gotten to sleep when I heard the phone ring. And I thought, wow, who's calling my friend at this hour in the morning? The next thing I knew, are you guys awake? This call's for you. And we stood in faith with her. And her daughter came through so victoriously in every respect. God's way of restoration is making people and things better than they were before. And see, these are the things we've got to realize when we walk by faith. Bill. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Bill was just sharing that his and Ann's son and grandson will be arriving here from overseas next Saturday, School of Dominion, Semester 3, Day 5. Oh, where have we heard that before? Semester 3, Day 5. There it is again. Okay, the family's coming in. Oh, gosh. Are we going to run to the airport to pick them up? No. Guess what? There's a wonderful thing called a shuttle. You pay them a few bucks, and they pick your family up and bring them right to your door.
I'm afraid I would get on the wrong side.
I can't say as I blame her. The daughter-in-law was willing to borrow their car and drive to the airport, but she's been used to driving on the other side of the street. So, that's the shuttle. Good solution. So they're able to make School of Dominion, and the family arrive safely all in the same day at the same time. That's a godly decision by faith. You look at your commitment and you explore, what are my options to accomplish this other thing that is coming up in, as a choice to me? What do I do about this? Well, let me tell you, walking by faith, God is full of faith. God is in us. God gave us the seed of faith. It's up to us to exercise it. It's up to us to plant it. Treat it like a muscle. And we need to be able to exercise it, put it into motion. You had a testimony too?
Yeah, I can relate to that.
They'll schedule your schedule for speaking around your schedule down here.
I was actually supposed to leave here tonight.
Uh-huh. To go up north.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Pastor Fred, for those of you on the internet and maybe in the other room who may not have heard, Pastor Fred has a tremendous ministry to the prisons, and he has become known as a speaker to share the love of Jesus Christ that totally transformed his life. And so he's able to share it with numerous different prisons, and he's one of their, I would think, most popular speakers. And he was scheduled by them to leave tonight to go up north to be able to be a speaker for it this time. And he normally comes here to ABC on Friday nights. Plus he has School of Dominion tomorrow. Yes. School of Dominion, Semester 1, Day 5. Semester 1, Day 5 here. But you know what? Semester 1 won't be given for another year. So an option of missing Day 5 means it'd be another year in 5 months before he'd be able to make that up. So, what did he say? I'm sorry, I'm not available this time. He called them up. He took the initiative, and he told them, can't do it this time. And you know what they told him? Okay, next time we schedule you, we'll check your schedule and see when you are available, and we'll schedule you when you are available. So they're going to work around his schedule. Yay. That was bold. That was a faith move. Praise God. So are we starting to get a feel for faith decisions, for things that sometimes it'd be like, you know, there's risk involved. But you know what? The Lord gave me an illustration one time. I guess you would call it a vision. I was in this room, and it was just a plain room with four walls, a floor, and a ceiling. And in the middle of the floor, in the middle of the room, was a dead body. And the Lord said, okay, why don't you say something nasty to that person on the floor? I said, well, why? Wouldn't do any good. He said, why not? I said, because the person's dead. He goes, so what does that mean? I said, well, if they're dead, they're not going to hear what I have to say. They're not going to respond to what I say. Oh, okay. I'll tell you what, why don't you go up and you kick it? I'm like, why would I do that? He said, why wouldn't you? I said, well, it's dead. Yeah, so? Well, if it's dead, it's not going to respond. It's not going to feel my kick. The person's not going to respond. They're not going to say anything. They're not going to do anything. He goes, now you're getting the picture. He said, and what does my word tell you about being dead to sin and dead to self? He said, picture yourself like that dead body in the middle of the room. Someone says something to you that you don't like. What do? Nothing. You don't take offense. You don't say anything. It's as if you aren't there because you are dead. And as the more that we are dead, the more Jesus can be alive in us. And his words come true. His words come through. He is the one that's preeminent. Yeah, Yoel was just reminding me of last year was another one of those day fives. And her business was related to some big events, a promotional deal that they were telling her she just had to do this. But it conflicted with day five. And she shook her head and she said, God, this looks like that could really promote my business. That looks like it could be really big, but it's a conflict of schedule. I've got to put God first. So, Lord, here I am. I'm making my commitment to you by coming to, was it Healing School or School of Dominion, I believe, right? Whichever one it was. She went. She came here. She did not do the event. She told them, the people that were organizing the event, she said, I'm sorry, I cannot be a participant this time. Well, guess what? She sowed that seed, and God has multiplied it back to her because out of that decision she made, something even bigger and better came back to her, and it just basically kind of dropped in her lap. Okay, that's a very good point. When this event clashed with day five, she's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? And so she called Pastor Joshua. And she said, I've got this really wonderful event, this big thing that could really promote my business. And it's scheduled the same day. What do you think I should do? Should I go to the event and promote my business, or should I come to school? Pastor Joshua's question brings everything back down to basics. Did you ask the Holy Spirit? Oh, she says, never mind. How many times do we try to figure things out on our own? We try to analyze by our minds and our experience and what we've seen and what we've known. And, oh, you know, here, you know, we're not kids. We're great experienced. We're mature. We have all this good knowledge and experience to base our decisions on, right? What about God? What does He say? We need to ask God. We need to find out, as I believe it was Jesse Duplantis that said, I don't want to figure out something I want to do and ask God to bless it. He said, I want to find out what God is blessing, and then I can be a part of that. So that's what we want to do. We find out, what's God blessing? Where does He want us? What does He want us to do? Step by step, what is His will? And if we've made a commitment, we need to remember that commitment, and we need to follow through on it. If something else comes up and it looks really good, there's a way. Jesus is the way, and Jesus makes the way where there seems to be no way for you to benefit from whatever the other thing is, if it's a good thing, if it's a God thing. But the God thing, if it shows up like this first one we did, the seminar shows up on the same day as your commitment, it should be a given what you do. And you put your faith into action to make that other thing happen at a different time, if you ask God, and if He says He wants you to do it. But you know you don't need to pray again. You don't need to fast, because you know where you're supposed to be in semester 3, day 5. Yes. Oh, how wonderful. Pastor James was just sharing that there are multiple times when he and Pastora Karen have bypassed funerals of family members in order to be here in whatever class or service it was at that time. They made that choice, which kind of brings to my mind the scripture that says, let the dead bury the dead. Because you honored them when they were alive, and now you've got a commitment that God wants you to do. You put that first. And Pastor James is also in the financial investment business. And there was a big investment seminar tomorrow that he was asked to be a part of, to take the seminar. And he told them, I'm sorry, I can't. I already have another commitment, which is School of Dominion. Semester 1, day 5. All right. Okay, so he made that choice to say, I'm sorry, I can't take it this Saturday. But you know what? As he sowed that seed, God blessed him back, because the president of the company came to him this week and told him what a wonderful job he's doing. And isn't that a blessing? So to be recognized by your superiors. That's awesome. And you know, that seminar will be available at another time or something similar to it. Besides which, he's got the best teacher of all. I think his name is the Holy Spirit. Jerry Savelle likes to call him. We use the term in the King James, Holy Ghost. Jerry Savelle calls him the Holy Guest. He's always a guest in us. And we should ask him where he wants to go. Because if we ask him, should I go here or should I go there? wherever you go, he's going to be going with you. Does he want to be there? Or is he like, Yeah, so this is what faith is all about.
We still came, but God lined it up where we could get there in time to marry the couple.
Oh, that's cute. Pastor Karen was talking about a time when she and Pastor James went to a seminar, right? A class. Oh, you came here to ABC. Oh, it was our graduation day. Day five! It was day five, and they came tuxedo in a formal gown. And they're going, whoa, graduation's that important to you? Well, yes, but the reason we're dressed this way is that we are also the officiating pastors to marry a couple later today. So they stayed through the whole day and stayed through graduation and then split and made it just in time to get the couple married and move them on their way. So God orchestrated the timing of that to allow them to complete this and then go and complete that. So when you put God first, he just works everything out. Yes, one more. One more.
To be a subject. And I was also asked.
Okay, now there's a wonderful testimony to end these testimonies with. Miss Penny was talking about, or excuse me, Ms. Penny, down south they call Mrs. Ms. Ms. Penny was talking about how she had a conflict on a semester three, day five. Okay, semester three, day five. She was ready to be here, right? But a good friend had died, and she was asked to be one of the speakers at the funeral, which was at the same time on the same day. And she opted to make the decision, no, I need to do it God's way. I honored my friend in his lifetime, and I will fulfill my commitment to semester three, day five, and be here. And she's saying that within a couple of months after that, something wonderful happened in her life. Would you like to stand up and show them what the something wonderful was? Pastor Matthew happened in her life. Not that she didn't know him before, but she got to know him better. So, praise God. God opened a wonderful door. Ah, yeah, and the Lord gave Penny, that same scripture the Lord had just given me when that was spoken, let the dead bury the dead. Let's go for the life in Christ Jesus. This is where we belong. And we've heard some wonderful testimonies about some people here at ABC who have been making wonderful decisions of faith. And this is what it's all about, people. It's dying to self, it's dying to sin, and just being alive unto God to be all that God wants us to be. And if we truly learn how to die to self and to die to sin, then the rest of it should be a piece of cake, right? A simple thing, letting Jesus rule and reign, not just in our hearts, but in our lives, our everyday lives, making those decisions. So praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.